Second Kings, it's the sequel to First Kings. First Kings went so well, so they brought out a sequel. Second Kings chapter 13. If you can't find Second Kings, go to the book of Matthew and turn left. Second Kings chapter 13, we're going to have a look at verse 20 this morning. And it says this, then Elisha died and they buried him. And raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. That went from a funeral service to a revival meeting in 1 second flat. And what I love about this story is that poor guy, he wouldn't have known what hit him. That guy would have experienced great joy and possibly needed some therapy after that as well. But this man, we don't know too much. We don't know who the man was. And there's not a lot of scripture devoted to this story, but what we do know is there was a funeral. We know that there was a man whose funeral it was. We know that the Midianites and the raiders came to hurt these people and bring harm and to steal from them and to fight them. And so they didn't really know what to do. They wanted to preserve the dignity of our friend here who had passed away. So they said, why don't we just put him in the tomb of Elisha? He won't mind. He's absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so he said, how about we just put him in there? We can come back and sort it out later. We'll just put him in there now. So they put him in there. And the minute that lifeless body touched the bones of Elisha, he stood upright. I want bones like that. I want Holy Ghost bones. I want Holy Ghost bones. What did the prophet say? He said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that the Holy Ghost is in my bones. I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that I won't even order a pizza unless it's been delivered. I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that if I get bitten by a mosquito, it'll fly off singing there's power in the blood. I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that it gets from your head to your toes. I don't want to be one of those Christians that walk around with a Bible big enough to choke a kangaroo but have no power. Man, I want the fire of the Holy Ghost. I want to plug into the power of God. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to carry an anointing that when someone touches me, something's going to happen. I don't know about you. I don't particularly want to sneak into anybody's grave. That kind of creeps me out. But I love that there was power in an unexpected place. There was power in a place where you wouldn't expect God to move. God could move. I mean, in a place like this, we kind of do expect that God could move. But if God can move in a tomb, in the back blocks of nowhere, what can he do right here in central London with people full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, people who believe God? The Bible says where two are gathered, there he is. Well, there's a lot more than two gathered right here at KT. This place is full. I went downstairs. There's people having church underneath. It's a lot cooler down there, by the way. They were in there before. They needed an overflow. They just went in there because it was cooler. Hello down there. We love you. And we bless them in Jesus' name. But in this story, you see a move of God happen in a dead place. You might have things in your world today that are dead. Dreams, hopes, vision for the future. You might be here saying, I don't think God can use me. I thought maybe God could use me, but maybe I've missed my time. Maybe I've missed my moment. There's dreams in your heart that we've seen flatline and they're not real or alive anymore. I believe God wants to revive some dead things. And I think God wants to heal some sick things. You might be here today and you need a miracle in your body. This is a church that believes in the healing power of God. We don't just believe in a Jesus that was. We do believe in a Jesus that was. We believe in a Jesus that walked this planet, that healed blind Bartimaeus. He pulled Lazarus out of the grave. We believe in a Jesus that walked on water. We believe in a Jesus that stole a kid's lunch and fed 5,000 people. Borrowed. I don't know what the approach was, but I know it was miraculous. We serve a Jesus. He would preach to things that didn't have ears, and they would submit to the word of God. He spoke to the sea. He spoke to the fig tree. He was so powerful that even the people that didn't like him said, never a man spoke like that man. When Jesus turned up, supernatural things started to happen. And I've got good news, brothers and sisters. We have Jesus on the inside of us by the power of the Holy Ghost. And he told us we'd see greater things. That doesn't mean we'd see better things or more spectacular things. That simply means that anointing that was on Jesus is now on each and every one of us. And so we can carry the power of God from our head to our toe. I'm believing God wants to touch London and touch the UK with the power of Almighty God. I believe the greatest revival the UK has ever seen is ahead of us in the name of Jesus. I know I'm yelling. I'm just so excited to be at KT. I mean, I could go serious. You know, we're going to see the greatest revival. I'm believing God wants to shake England, shake the UK, shake Europe, shake Australia, shake the world for the glory of God. Greater days are ahead of us. Revival in unexpected places. Revival in a tomb where your family situation might feel like it's in a tomb. Yeah. Physically, you might feel like you're in an impossible situation. I'm believing that God's going to stir faith in people's hearts for a shift and a whole new day. At the end of the message, we're going to pray for people. I'm believing the sick are going to get healed today. I'm believing broken hearts are going to be made whole. I'm believing people get baptized in the Holy Ghost and God will do something in the house. But in this tomb, four things happened. I believe those things are available to every child of God today. I believe that what God did here is simply a picture of what he can do in our lives. And there was a revival in this tomb. There was a revival in this place, and there's four things that happened. I'd love you to write these down. If you're taking notes, get your iPhone out, or if you've got a Samsung, just leave that. I'm just teasing. But seriously, leave it. Four things that happened in this unexpected place. Number one, well, the first three are really quite positive. Number four is a little bit of a challenge. And I'd love you to have a look at this because I really feel like there's a word for this house this morning. The first thing we see, and they all start with T, which is amazing. It was an accident. You know, some preachers work so hard to do it. It was just lucky. I was just lucky. I was very excited. I've tried so many times and I can never get it right. But today, first time in my entire ministry, I've been preaching 20 and a half years, and today we have four T's. I wanted four P's, but I don't have enough words in my vocabulary. No, just teasing. Number one, four things you'll find in Elisha's tomb. Number one, triumph. Somebody say triumph. Oh, there you go. Triumph. We see in this tomb, death gives way to life. And it's still a reality today. As believers, we live in triumph. We have a shout of triumph. We see God do something. And this is just a shadow and a type of a New Testament reality. That because of a tomb, one man was able to live. Because one person had died, another was given life. But through the power of Jesus, through the power of the cross, through the garden tomb, one man's death, all of mankind can find life. You and I are saved because a miracle happened in a garden tomb following obedience on a cross. You and I are on our way to heaven because of this great triumph that happened 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. Jesus died and he rose again. And so we have eternal life. You know, the beautiful thing about this triumph is that triumph is available to every person. You might be here today. I made a bit of a joke at the beginning saying you're visiting. There could be people in this room today that just popped in because you're in the area, you're looking around London, you've walked in here. We're not here to just talk about a man who was great, who lived once. We're here to talk about a God who's real and cares about each and every person collectively, but individually. He cares about your hopes. He cares about your dreams. He cares about your challenges. He cares about your disappointments. He knows the numbers of hairs on your head. He knows the desires of your heart. He's a real God. He's a personal God. He has a plan and a purpose for each and every person here. And he's real. And that triumph that you walked in here, everyone's celebrating and getting happy. It's not hype. What these guys were doing wasn't hype. And the reason you could not just hear it and enjoy it, but you could also feel it, is because it's a reflection of a victory that's happened on the inside of one's heart, where we've stepped out of darkness and into life, and we're born again by the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad that you're washed in the blood of Jesus? This man goes into the tomb, touches Elisha's bones, and he stands upright. Triumph. It was Billy Graham that said, before he had passed away, he said, one day, and this all came out after he had died, but he writes, one day you'll read that Billy Graham has died. He said, don't believe a word of it. I'll be more alive than I've ever been. I've simply changed address. I don't know about you. I don't want to change address too soon, but I am looking forward to that day where I meet Jesus. I'm looking forward to getting to heaven. I can't wait. I'm going to walk in. There's a few things I want to do. I want to meet Moses. I want to meet Abraham. I want to meet David. I want to meet Samson. I want to meet Elvis Presley, I think is there. I don't know, made that up. That was inappropriate. But I'll tell you who, I also want to have a strong word with Adam and Eve. Just a discussion, I'll be kind. But most of all, I can't wait to get in there and see Jesus. I can't wait to walk streets paved with gold. The walls are of jasper, the foundations of rubies. I can't wait to see the crystal sea. I can't wait to see the gates of pearl. I can't wait to see my mansion, which is going to be a lot bigger than Pastor Scott's. But you can come over. We can do all those British things like a spot of tea. I can't wait to change address. Right here we see a man who one touch, resurrection life came into him. You know, one touch of the Holy Spirit changes everything. It's triumph. Number two, there's testimony. God does miracles and he keeps his promises. Can I talk about this for a minute? There's Elijah and Elisha. Sometimes preaching, I forget which one's which. And I mix the stories, and if I'm not sure, I just disguise the name a little bit. Just go Elijah. Elijah. No one really, what did he say? We've moved on. We don't know. But Elisha, what was the one thing he asked for from Elijah? He wanted a double portion of that anointing. Oh, I like that. I wouldn't mind a double portion of what's on KT right now to get on me. I want a double, triple, quadruple. I don't want just a double, I want a triple, I want double, 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 double. I want all that God has. But here, you had some Old Testament barriers. We can have the Holy Spirit without limitation. But here he says, can I have a double portion of your anointing? And so we know the story. Elijah is taken up to heaven supernaturally, and Elijah, you know what I mean. I forget, I'm at KT, everyone knows the Bible in KT. Not like all these other places I preached around England. No, I'm just... So Elisha gets the mantle, gets that anointing. Elijah performed 14 miracles in Scripture by the hand of God. Elisha says, I want a double portion of your anointing. In his earthly ministry, he performs 27 miracles. Now, I'm no mathematician, but 14 times 2 is not 27. It's close. It's nearly. You can round up. If you're Pentecostal, you do round up. It's called being evangelistic. But 27, it's just one less than 28, and most people would settle and go, oh, that's good enough. But how many know that with God, if he makes a promise, his promises, what are they? They are yes and yes. In other words, it's a yes in heaven and we pull it down by our amen of faith. But it's 27 and God promised 28. And what I love about this story is that if God's made a promise, even on the other side of Elisha's life, he kept some anointing in those bones. Them bones, them bones, them dry bones. There was something on them. They were just laying in the tomb. Just waiting for one person. Just waiting for one unsuspecting poor bloke to touch those bones and boom, promise is fulfilled. Miracle 28. Some of us... Woo, man. Some of us settle, Pastor Claudette. We settle at 27. We go, that's good enough. That's nearly enough. But is not El Shaddai the God of nearly enough? Is El Shaddai the God of more than enough? He's not El Cheapo or El Stingy. He's not Jehovah Bargona. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. His hand, the Bible says, is not short that he cannot heal. His arm is extended to us in fullness. And if God promises us, if God says he'll do it, how many know he will do what he says he will do? And I think there's some people here and you're faithful. You serve God, but you're not quite where you feel God's promise. And maybe you've settled back a little bit. I want to encourage you, let those dreams come back to life. You might have kids and you love them, but they're not serving God like you should, and like they should, and you're serving God and you're believing and you're kind of, yeah, we'll get there, you know. I'd encourage you, believe again. Trust God again, because he does miracles and he keeps his promises. Number three, we see triumph, we see testimony. Number three, we see transfer. What do you say transfer in England? Transfer. I got on the tube. Transfer. The anointing is on one and it gets on another. You know, the Apostle Paul, he was putting his hand on handkerchiefs and aprons. And these people would bring them to him. He would just touch them. And then they'd take them back to their house, take them to someone sick, put it in their hand, and they'd touch the cloth or the handkerchief or the apron. They would touch it. And the anointing that was on Paul got on the hanky. Man, if you better be careful blowing your nose on a hanky that Paul touched. You'll fall out under the power. What happened? I don't know. I just blew my nose and now I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. So he's just touching the hankies. Do you call them hankies in England? I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like handkerchief. I thought they were invented in England. I just feel like handkerchief sounds like the most British thing of all time. And so he lays hands on the handkerchief. I get, these days we can do, you might sit there and go, well, that's a bit strange, but we live in an era where you can literally pray for someone through FaceTime in a hospital room and God works. But they didn't have FaceTime in days like that. But I still will get saints of God come up to me in church. Say, will you pray for this? I've got a friend that has a need. And I tell you, I take it so seriously because I think it's a point of contact of faith. And God can get on that and that can go home and that can impact a life. I know stories of one mum who had a rat bag of a son. And so what she'd do, she'd wait for him to go out and then she'd just jump on his bed, lay on his bed and pray in the Holy Ghost. And then when she heard him coming back home, she'd quickly get back out and get in her bed and he would just have disrupted sleep because God was convicting him. Now he's in the ministry serving Jesus. Let me tell you, God gets on stuff. He got on David's sling and Abraham's, and he got on Aaron's rod. He can get on stuff. Jesus spat in dirt. That's a ministry that isn't that popular these days. If you could go for the guy that lays hands or the guy that spits in mud, you might go for the guy that lays hands. But Jesus, he spat in dirt, made mud, and put it on a guy's eyes. What happened? The anointing gets on stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I love that. The anointing's in this church. But do you know, even more important, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The anointing can get on you and on me. You and I carry the power of God in the name of Jesus. Can you say a good amen on Sunday? I've got to keep moving. But let me just say this. I was preaching in Auckland, New Zealand. I don't know if you've heard of New Zealand. It's a little island off the great nation of Australia. We believe it would make a great golf course. And I was preaching in Auckland at a youth conference. And it was like 800 people. And you know, a revival meeting, there's like 14 altar calls. And people are coming for everything. And you pray for people and then you're just done. You're tired, you know. And so this girl comes up to me after a long service. And she says, would you pray for me? And I was wrong to even be like this. I wasn't disinterested, but I was tired. And I let my tiredness dictate my manner. And so I was polite, but I kind of didn't give the time that I should have. So I did one of these kind, and I shouldn't have, but so forgive me in advance, and it works out in the end. And so I prayed for her. I said, Father, bless her, touch her, in Jesus' name, catch her tomorrow. And I went home. But as I'm walking off, she goes, was that it? I said, what do you mean? She goes, was that it? I said, what do you mean? She goes, I came to you. I'm sick. I've got depression, anxiety. I've got these physical issues in my body. My dad is terminally ill. My mum and him are having major problems in the home. She said, and she says, I came to you in faith, believing for a miracle. She said, was that it? I was like, no. That was a practice. So I pulled that old lawnmower cord, you know. Cool, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. In the name of Jesus, I put my hand on her head and she hits the ground under the power of the Holy Ghost. I looked down, I thought, I reckon that might be it. So then I did go home. I'm in the car going back to the motel and the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He says, David, every Sunday people come to your church needing a breakthrough, and too often they leave going, was that it? I pray that if you've come through these doors today needing something from God, you don't leave going, was that it? I pray you leave fully satisfied by the goodness of God. Oh, hallelujah. Woo-hoo. Man, some people get stressed out about falling down under the power. It's in the Bible, you know. Even David said in Psalm 23, he makes me lie down. Does not sound optional to me. Some people get all stressed out about falling down. Oh, falling down creeps me out. It freaks me out. I've grown up falling down. We fell down every service we ever had. You could have Royal Rangers, you fall down. Art and craft, we fall down. I'm from a falling down church. Falling down's not the weird thing. I'll tell you the weird part. Knowing the right time to get back up. It's easy to fall. But when you've fallen down under the power, you're on the floor and you're kind of done. But you go, should I get up? And you have a peek and there's no one else. And you're on your own. You kind of think, I might just leave this for a little while. But let me tell you this. This is my theology and it's pretty thin, but I'm going to throw it out there. I want to be out on the Holy Ghost grill as long as possible. So when I get to heaven, he says, well done, not medium rare. I want to be fully done. I want the power of the Holy Ghost. I want greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. You and I, London, UK, we need the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. If you believe it, take 10 seconds and give God a shout of victory in the house. Oh, come on, somebody, lift up a victory shout. We serve a big Holy Ghost. Oh, brother. Man, you need to be careful with that thing. I thought the rapture was about to happen. Oh, kutaraba hashapa. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout, our God is an awesome God. That anointing, man, I'm believing God today. If you walked in here, you know, some of you weren't in the 9 o'clock service. Someone was sitting in that all morning, full of the Holy Ghost. You might get an impartation that you didn't expect. I don't really want to focus on how, but you will get one. By the Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus. I've got to give you one more point. This is my serious point. So two of you taking notes, if you could stay with me. We have triumph, we have testimony, we have transfer. But this one, there's a tragedy in this story. And I want to tell you what the tragedy in the story is, because we see this man's raised from the dead, so that's not tragic, that's amazing, that's incredible. But there is a tragic part of the story. And I'll tell you what the tragic part of this story is. It's that the anointing that was on Elijah, got on Elisha, and it should have been passed on to Gehazi, but Gehazi ran after the wrong thing. The Bible says he ran after Naaman's money, and as a result of that, he was struck with leprosy. And Elisha never passed his mantle of 28. Could have got on Gehazi. That could have been, I think, 56. Look at that. I'm in London 2 days and my mathematics has improved. I've always heard it said, and I don't want to generalize it, but the anointing never leaves the earth. Man might pass away, but what was on man or woman should be imparted to the next generation. Jesus, he went to heaven. He said, I won't leave you comfortless. He says, I'll send the Holy Ghost. Abraham's anointing got on Isaac. Isaac's got on Jacob. Blessings passed down from generation to generation. I believe God, from this house, there's an anointing for the generations to come. I want to tell this, and I want to do it as best as I can, because there's about three parts to this story, and then I'll be done by, honestly, I'll be done by three, I promise. Some of you, the sun's out, but we want you to sacrifice that sun for extra long teaching today. No, don't, the sun's amazing. I actually didn't know that England had one until... And so it shocked me when I saw the sun. I was like, oh, we have one of those down where we live. But you do too. Congratulations. Well done, England. I was here on holidays 2 years ago with my wife, Donna, who is awesome. And we decided we'd go to Notting Hill, see the markets, and just going for a stroll. And I'm walking right down the street. And I see this building, Kensington Temple. And I had read about Kensington Temple. Like, you might not know this. This is a famous church. This church has shaken the world. It's had an impact that's incredible. And it was, the very early part of this church was led by two gentlemen, Stephen and George Jeffreys. Powerful men of God, brought revival to the east coast of America. They were amazing, used by God, Holy Ghost filled men. And this church, your history is traced back to them. So I come in here and Pastor Mark Ryan, well, no one was, so let me take a step back, no one was here. So I, except some guy at the front, I don't know if that guy's here, but he would not let me in. And I tried everything. I said, my name's Dave. No, I'm from Australia. Absolutely not. I said, I'm a pastor. No. I said, I'm with the Assemblies of God. No. So I broke in, and then I got arrested. Now, that's not true. I didn't break in. I looked here. They let me come to the door, and I'm having a little look. I tried everything. I said, I know Scott Templeton. Then I was arrested. And then I said, but I'm friends with Pastor Claudette. They gave me a full tour of the whole building, showed me everything. They gave me money. It was great. No, but I was so moved by it. I said, can I just leave a note for the pastor? And they said, sure. So I left a note for Pastor Mark. And so I said, it's just an honor to see the church you're pastoring. And then I said, I left my number. And within about a couple of hours, I think, he calls me on the phone. And I answer the phone. He says, do you want to have breakfast? And of course, I had to pay. So... I'm kidding. I actually don't know. I actually think I did, but that's because I'm honouring. And so he says, I'll take you through the church. So he and I walked through this church together. This is 2 years ago. And we're standing about where Brother Yellow Shirt is. And what's your name, Brother Yellow Shirt? I can't hear that. I'm deaf. There's a lot of noise. Brother Philip. God bless you, Philip. Father Phil today. And And so he just put his arm around me and he said, this might be unusual. He said, but I want to pray. And he prayed and he just said, and I was standing this way, looking up, and so was he. He said, Lord, I pray that a little bit of what's on those Jeffries brothers and a little bit of what you've done in this church over all those years would get on my friend David. And it so impacted my life. I felt like I left under a different anointing, you know. So I started preaching, just telling that story. And then telling the story of the Jeffries brothers, where Reinhard Bonnke, I don't have time to say too much, but by total miracle, Bonnke stumbled across his house in his one day here in England after he'd been in Bible college. And he met George Jeffries. Knocked on the door, can I come in? The lady said, no, he's too old and too frail. And then he heard a faint voice, send the young man in. And so Bonnke goes in. Reinhard Bonnke, the greatest evangelist, probably him and Billy Graham, maybe Jimmy Swaggart, you know, those three. And so he walks in and Jeffrey says to Reinhard Bonnke, who's a young guy, I've been expecting you. And then he lays hands on Bonnke and parts his mantle onto Reinhard Bonnke. That day, George Jeffries died and went to heaven. And so that anointing gets passed on to Reinhard. Which church has that come out of? Right here. My pastor who died last year, Andrew Evans, 87, he passed away. Hero of the faith. His son is Russell Evans, who runs Planet Shakers Conference and Music in Australia. I was preaching this message. Russell Evans was in the service. This is over in Auckland just last year. And he goes, you've only told half the story. I said, what's that? He goes, well, my grandfather, Tommy Evans, got hands laid on him through the ministry of this church. Pastor Stephen Jeffries laid hands on him, gets a baptism in the Holy Ghost at the age of 9. In his young adult life, goes to Papua New Guinea and India as a missionary, brings a baptism in the Holy Spirit to Papua New Guinea. They'd never heard of tongues, seen tongues. Now 45% of Papua New Guinea is saved. And of that 45%, I think it's like the high 80% is Pentecostal. It's a move of God, and out of that has come Pastor Andrew Evans's church, which shook Australia. They estimate out of Pastor Andrew's church, 20 million people have been saved. They estimate that out of Reinhard Bonnke's ministry, 100 million people have been saved. And that's just two people that have been touched by the ministry of this church. And you know what I love about this church? I've walked in here today. I'm actually saying this. I feel by the Spirit of God. I walked into this place, both services. There is life. There is faith. In the first service, people gave their hearts to Jesus. The worship is full of passion and life. This place is jammed out. It's hot. You could be doing anything. The sun's out. You could be with the sun, hanging out, doing your thing. But there is a hunger. There's a passion here because I think there is a sense in people that we don't want what's on this house to go into some tomb of history, but we want what God's doing here to go from generation to generation to generation to generation. Maybe if Brother Keyboard could come. But I believe for greater days. This church has had amazing days, but I believe by the Holy Ghost, God sent me here today to declare over this house that the best is yet to come. That the future is as bright as the promises of God. I believe God wants to touch England with another great awakening. That God wants to shake England with revival. The world's getting more and more difficult, more and more godless. But I thank God that right here in the middle of central London, right here in Notting Hill, that there is a church alive. This isn't just a happy clappy church. There's the fire of God's in this church, man. You say, what's the interpretation? I don't know. But it's a good one.